Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Glen Arbor Community Church. We are gathered to worship and learn together. We're a community of believers. Thank you for being here today. My name is Dean. I'm doing the teaching today. Why don't we pray and ask God to bless our time together? God, thank you that you made these traditions that we could recognize the truth, that it would not be obvious to us if we went our own way. Pray that you speak to our hearts. Pray that you encourage us. And I pray that we would learn and worship you together. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Who was here for the Nerf Extravaganza War last night? Raise your hand. That's where this church is transformed into a giant Nerf battle zone. I was wondering if they were going to keep it up, and like Pastor Staniger would be like, all right, this morning on Sunday morning, we're just going to do a giant church, all-church Nerf battle. So, well, let me ask, we do this once in a while, is anybody a birthday in May? Oh! Okay, Mark. Wow, the big 5-0. Luke! What is it? Wow, awesome. Okay, how about any anniversaries? A May anniversary. All right, great. How about any returns from college? Oh, we got one right here. Eric's like sneaking his head. All right, well, why don't you just stand up, greet the people around you, and if you're around with somebody that has a birthday or anniversary, congratulate them for that. Wow, the big 5-0. Now we know the cat's out of the bag.
That's why he's hiding.
Yeah, that's why he's not here. All right. Well, good stuff. Welcome, too, if you're a visitor here this morning. We're glad you're here with us this morning. And we just have a couple announcements real quick. Today is our Breaking of Bread home group day. So if you're in a Breaking of Bread group, is where we have communion, we have dinner together and then communion together is in smaller groups. If you're not in one and you would like to join one, just see Dean or Greg or I and we'll connect you in with one of the groups. So that's where we really like to get together just for some more intimate fellowship time and sharing time, and it's a good time. So that's Breaking of Bread is today. We are launching today, and the people that are involved know about it, but we are launching today a college discipleship program called College LT at Light, College LT Light, because some of us that were college students way back in the day, there was like a more extensive boot camp College LT program that used to last a whole summer. But this is just a light version that we're running here at Glen Arbor just for 6 weeks. So if you're college or college-bound, raise your hand. I know there's some of you guys there. And I know there's others that just aren't here today. But so for you and your parents, we're just going to have a brief meeting. Where do you want to have that, Greg? In the library? Okay, like 11:45 or something like that. So come on, join us for that just to hear about what this college light program is going to be. One of the things that the college students are going to be doing is spending a lot of time together, fellowship, in learning about applying their faith, as well as serving. And the big way that they're going to serve is to help plan and organize and run the teen conference that's in early July. So that's great. They're going to be staff security at the teen conference, security shirts. So they're going to be staff. So that's great. That's going on. And other than that, please just enjoy the rest of the service. And now's our time when we take our regular offering. If you're a regular member, we encourage you to contribute there. And then Sunday school students can go off to their Sunday school classes after that. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We are wrapping up my part of this series we're doing on how to be well, how to live a spiritual life. And so we are rotating, Greg, Mike, and I, and this is my last teaching in this. And I wanted to get real practical on five things you can do, and we're going to do some of them today. Five steps you can take to live a more spiritual life. And the reason these are important, if you just do what all your neighbors are doing, what everyone is around you is doing, you may not end up where you really want to be. Because who you really are is a spiritual person. God made you to relate to Him in a unique way, in a unique relationship that Jesus Christ paved the way for. That you are connected to Him. And it's easy to miss that in how we live today, and we're so busy and wrapped up and engrossed in the details of living life here in the Chicago suburbs. I'm assuming you live here in the suburbs. And so we're going to walk through some of these today. And one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to take a test. Now, everyone knows what tests are for. They are for the professors and the teachers, so they can know how you're doing. Really, the tests are for the students to see if they're learning, to see where they are. So we're going to do a little inventory. So why don't we dive in and pray, and we will move forward together. I thank you that you have given your word and your spirit and the body of believers so many things for us to be encouraged and to know who you are. Thank you that you came here, that we could understand in a significant way and see and know you. I pray that we would know you better from being here together today. Amen. So I'm going to dive right into these steps here. We're going to take our temperature. Where's my... Kellen, can you... Did anyone get a bulletin? If you didn't get a bulletin, there is a spiritual well-being inventory, which the short term for that is test. If you didn't get one, my sons will hand one out for you. So I want to just ask a couple general questions. If someone were to ask you, what are you learning this year? What is God teaching you this year? What are you learning? What would you tell them? We're in near the end of May in 2017. That's 5 months into the year. What are you learning in 2017? What is God showing you? I don't know if you had anyone ask you that. I have people ask me that. One of our pastors in West Lafayette likes to ask me that. Everybody says, what is God teaching you? And I've learned whenever I'm going to see him, I better have an answer, because I know he's going to ask me, what is that? I better think of something. I would hope I would know, but I don't. Another thing you could think about is if anyone is coaching you. My youngest son is on the tennis team here in West Chicago, and I was watching. I really like the coach, because the coach is watching the game, and the coach will call the kids over and say, "Hey, this is what you guys need to do better in the game." You know why? Because the kids are on the court. They're trying to adjust as best they see what's happening, but the coach is a little farther back. He can see both sides. He has a different perspective, and he has a lot of experience. He played in high school. He played in college, and he's coached kids for a long time. He says, "Hey, this is what you guys should do," and he says, "Hey, you're doing it again. You need to stop that. If you want to play a better game," he has a perspective that it's hard to see if you're running around on the court. He can see what's happening. Sometimes my wife and I are watching the game, and we can see what's happening too. Now, we're not coaches. I never played tennis. But I can see sometimes this would be better. Just being off the court can be helpful. Is there someone in your life speaking into your life? You know, honest, a lot of people don't want someone speaking into their life. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I'll play tennis by myself. You know, we will do better if there's someone coaching your life. What do you hope in? What do you hope for? If someone says, what do you hope for? What do you hope for this year? What are you hoping in? Someone walks up to you, you don't know, and says, hey, what do you hope for? What are you hoping in today? Well, I don't know. I don't know. What are you hoping in for this week? What are you hoping in for this year? What do you hope for? So the reason I'm asking some of these questions, and some of these are on the test, is that sometimes we need to do an inventory. I did a different type of inventory this week. We have a scale in our near my bedroom, and I don't get on there too often. And this week, I decided I would take a chance and get on the scale. And you know what it showed me? It showed me that I can't blame my wife, that she's not over-drying my clothes, which was my conclusion that something must have been different in how our laundry is being done at our house. My scale told me that I got on there, I am heavier than I've ever been in my life in that particular moment. I'm sure it was just that day. Do men retain water? I don't know if it works that way. But I go, wow, I have gained weight. Whatever I'm doing every day is not working. I need to change something. I did an inventory. And as an extrovert, I can often blame other people for whatever I'm struggling with. It's obviously, and this I had, couldn't find. As I got on the scale, I said, we have a problem. We have a problem. I need to do something. Whatever I'm doing is not turning out the best for my life. So I want to do this. I want to take a little inventory. And so I have handed out these, or we have these little inventories. I want to take a few minutes, and I would like you to fill this out. And no one is going to collect these. No one is going to look at them but you. But I would like you to take a few minutes, grab a pencil, and see if you can answer some of these questions. If you want, you can fold it up and put it in your pocket when you're done. I would like you to take a few minutes and do that. Go ahead. Everyone got one? Good. Go ahead and do that. Enough time for everybody? It's hard for me to gauge. Need another minute, or are you guys pretty good? Another minute. Okay, thank you. All right. I would like to just take a look at a few of these, and I'll just tell you why I did this. As I thought about some of these for my life, I realized what's my general mood. It says, do I often, Christians, a person who's a Christian, a person who has been saved, a person who has been redeemed, who all of their issues have been compensated for, made up for, whatever you lack has been filled in by the complete work of Jesus Christ, I have every reason to be encouraged. And I go, oh, sometimes I don't feel that way. Sometimes I feel discouraged. Sometimes I feel a little numb, a little checked out. And I go, wow, sometimes I do something. I eat chocolate to escape that. It's comforting, right? It's a comfort. And I go, wow, that's maybe the way it's working. What's been encouraging me? What's your spiritual temperature? I said, every reason to be hopeful, but sometimes I don't feel that hopeful. I go, wow, it would be good to know that for myself. So what I want to look at is, boy, things we can do, and I started making some changes this week, and I'm going to give you some of these ideas for you and your life as you've taken your inventory. If you find, wow, there are sometimes I don't have a lot of hope, there are sometimes I'm discouraged, there's sometimes I'm checked out, there's sometimes I'm a little numb. Hey, we have days like that. But if I'm checked out for a day, checked out for a week, if I'm checked out for a couple months, boy, that's not where you want to stay. It's not where you want to stay. So here are some things I did to deal with that. In what I read, I said, find a way to agree with God. One of the things we struggle with is what we think about. What we think about. And there's a battle for how you think. Sometimes we think, oh, my thoughts are just in my head. There is a battle for how you think about God, how you think about your life, how you think about yourself. Paul said this. He said one of the things he was endeavoring to do, he said, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. There are obstacles that keep people from knowing God. There is a battle for what you think about, for what I think about. It's not just stuff that happens. And he said, we capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. There's a process for redeeming our thinking. You ever think you're no good? Ever think you're not good at anything? Ever think you feel like you're worthless? Where do those come from? Ever feel like nothing good is happening? Ever feel like no one cares? None of those things are true. None of them are true. Where do they come from? It's a battle for what you feel and what you think about. Ever feel like it's never good? Nothing you work on works out. Ever feel that way sometimes? Where does that come from? It's not coming from God. It's not coming from the Scripture. It's not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's a battle for how we think about life. And so I go, what am I going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? How do you help someone who thinks that way? How do you help yourself? And I'm just going to give you an example of something I read this week. I woke up this week and more than once, and in the morning I'm trying to be consistent in looking to God first in the morning. I'm trying to be more consistent in that. And I found I'm going to find something I can agree with God about in what I look in and what I read isn't just an intellectual exercise. It's something for my life. And here's a psalm I read this week. This is just an example. The Scripture, the truth in the Word of God is living and active, and it can apply to our lives. And here's one that I did in Psalm 5. He says, because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. I agree with God about that. I can come and worship Him. I can come because of God's unfailing love, because He is good, because He is consistent. Not because I'm that great or I'm consistent, but because God is good. I can come to Him. You can come to Him. And I read that, I go, wow, that is good. I will worship at His temple in deepest awe because of Him. I go, I agreed with God with that morning when I read that. And Let's see. Lead me in the right path, O God, and or my enemies will conquer me. God, there's a path for today that I can follow. So as you read, as you look to the Word, as you look to the truth He put in the Scripture for your life, say, God, I'm going to look in here for something that I can agree with You about for today, that would help my life. Make Your way a plan for me to follow. God, I need a plan for my life to follow. It's not a conceptual idea. The Word, the truth in the Word is meant to inspire us in who God is. So that's something you can do. Find something today and tomorrow and the next day that you can agree with God about. The next thing you can do, one thing you can do in your life is learn to go to Him. We go to lots of things to occupy our time, to give us comfort, for a relationship, to stimulate our minds. Learn to go to Him. In Matthew 8, there were large crowds of people who were following Jesus. Thousands of people. We know from the record of when people were fed, when He would feed them, thousands of people were fed. So people were following Him just to hear Him speak. And this is from Matthew 8:2. Large crowds followed Jesus as He came down the mountainside. So there were thousands of people wanted to get a chance to hear Him. And this happened. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached Him and knelt down before Him. He said, "Lord," the man said, "if You're willing, You can heal me and make me clean." You know what I thought? If there were thousands of people there, I'll bet you there were a bunch of people who had issues. I'll bet you there was more than one man who had leprosy. Can't say for sure, but I'll bet there were. But some people, like we are, going, "Well, what can he do?" Or, you know, if you had leprosy, which is now called Hansen's disease, that's what we've labeled it, but if you had it in an advanced stage, it would be very visible, it would be very embarrassing, because you obviously would see the decay of a person's flesh, and who would want that embarrassment to go stand out in front of this crowd? But one man did. "Lord, if You're willing, heal me." One man stepped out. If there's thousands of people, there were probably a lot of people who had a lot of issues. But they didn't go out. They didn't step out. "Lord, if You're willing, You can heal me." They didn't go forward. One guy went to Him. "Lord, if You're willing," we are the people who should go to Him. We have greater confidence that He will heal us. "Lord, if You're willing," because we know He's willing. This is what Jesus said. Jesus reached out and touched Him. "I am willing. Be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. You know what happened after this? This was interesting. After this, in these thousands of people who were following Him, this was a private moment. You know what He said next? "Tell no one about this." So with all these people, this must have been a little private moment, because He said, "Tell no one about this, but present yourself to the priest that you can be declared cleansed." He says, "Don't tell anyone. This is between you and I. You're healed. You came to Me. I am willing. You're a new person. That's gone. I'm not here to get glory for myself, but you're healed. Don't tell anybody, but hey, it's done. Go to Him." So why is that important? We're building a pattern of life. How do you handle your life? Your life of going to Him. "God, I'm struggling with this. Can You help me?" A pattern of how you talk with Him and ask Him for help. One of the things I realized in my as I got on the scale is the pattern I have in life. And I was talking with my wife about it, and we had an honest moment. And she said, you know, I've noticed that you don't just have one dessert anymore. And I go, yeah, I've kind of noticed that too. And I'm kind of an all or nothing person. It's either several desserts or none. You know, it's just the way I work. And I thought, you know, we are what we do every day. We become the pattern of everyday life. So one thing you can do is learn to go to Him. And if He is life, if you want to live a vital, vibrant life, if He is life, you go to Him. People who think that life is all these experiences, you see them, the celebrities who have the liberty to explore life, their lives don't turn out that well. They die young. We had an example of that this week. They become numb to life and they keep trying to live through experience. If you want to have a vibrant life, you learn to go to Him because He is life. He is life. Worship Him. Next one. The next thing you can do, and we worship here in church. One of the things I really appreciate is music and how we worship, that opportunity. But in life, we need to have a personal life that worships God. And I find that sometimes in my personal devotions, I don't even think of worshiping God. I think of reading and praying, but I don't think of doing that. And I think it's a great opportunity to offer God credit for what's happening. So I'm on this leprosy thing because we had one example. I want to look at another example of what Jesus did. Many people in life fail to give God credit for what's happening. A good thing happens and they go, wow, this is great. Isn't this great? A good thing happened to me. I want to give an example of the tendency that we as humans have. In Luke 17, Jesus healed. 10 lepers came to Him and Jesus healed 10 all at once. Can you remember this story? 10 lepers were healed. This is what happened. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. What does that mean? That means that 9 out of 10. Now, leprosy is a disease that will kill you. Especially in this day and age, it is a death sentence. You have to be separate so you don't infect anyone else. As a matter of fact, you had to call out ahead of you, unclean, I am unclean, because they didn't want someone to catch the disease. You were a social outcast because they had to isolate. You were quarantined, basically. It was a public quarantine. This man, 10 people, wow, isn't this great? I'm better. 9 of them went on with their lives. This is great. I'm better now. 1 of them. The natural tendency is to move on. This is great. Now what are we going to do? What now? I'm better. 1 of them shouted, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking Him for what He had done. This man was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? The natural tendency is to not give God credit for the good things He is doing. To not even stop and slow down and recognize the good things that He has done, what He has held together in our lives. I know I struggle to give God credit for the good things and look at whatever is, just move on and just forget about that. So I thought about worship. How do I be more consistent in offering God credit for what He's doing, for what He is holding together, for His good things? So here's a question for maybe this area of, do you worship personal through you worship God in your personal life. Let me ask you this question. Are you a little bored with God? A little bored with Him? What do you think about God? Maybe. Maybe. If someone said, hey, what do you think about God? I had a guy ask me this once. He was struggling, had a great struggle in his life, and his wife actually had a very beautiful wife, and his wife wanted to leave him and go pursue a modeling career. This was years ago. He doesn't go to church here. He was working at an oil refinery, and he was struggling with what is happening in my life. And I got in the pickup truck. I worked with him. He looked at me and he said, "Do you know anything about God?" And my first thought was, "Not today. Not today. Not today. What am I going to say? I don't feel good about God today." And you know what he did? He found someone else at the oil refinery, another guy who was one of our superintendents, who was a devout Christian, and this guy shared hope with him because I wasn't ready. I didn't have that particular day. And I appreciate that God has a backup plan for when I don't feel good about who He is. But so I thought, you know, there is an opportunity to worship God. And I found what I want to do is something I did. You know, I use my computer a lot. I use it for work. Sometimes I use it for recreation. I use it for fun. And I thought, boy, there's an opportunity for me to worship God. And I found this video. It's actually a song done by a band called the Vertical Church Band. And I said, you know, this morning, not today, but this week, I says, I'm going to watch this video because it touches my heart. And so I want to take a few minutes and watch this video, and the guys will pull this up for me, and we'll just talk about that afterwards. It's a video of the song, A Hallelujah, and we're just going to do that for a few minutes here.
Like a slave, you washed my feet and said, my child, I've made you clean, yet somehow still I miss your hallelujah. 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 I try to stay awake and pray as bloody sweat ran down your face. They came and with a kiss they would betray.
Then Pilate and his government, they mocked you, beat you, crowned your head. They led you up the hill. You beg the Father to forgive, and in your wounds I saw my sin, and as you died, my ears could finally
anyone seen that before? No, not many. Well, what I found profound in that is, I just found it personally profound that at the end, the reason to say hallelujah is because of the sacrifice of Christ. That's when he said to build the bridge between me and him, that I can go to him, all of us, that he did that. That's the truth. And the personal worship for that. And so, you know what I do in the morning? I bet you I listen to that song 30 times, maybe 40. I think my family's getting tired of it. But it reminds me of the truth that everything I have, everything that is possible, everything that's good is because he came for me. He came for me. He came for you. You are worth something. You're valuable. If you weren't valuable to him, he would not have come for you. If he didn't care about you, he would have not done that for you. Did that, and that reminder is so profound that we need that because we have doubts. And it's good for me to see that during the week to come in my personal life. I have a relationship with God. You have a relationship with God. And to be reminded of your value before Him, that He cares about you, that He paid your debt. That when God said hallelujah, well, anyway, I don't think I've watched that once without being emotionally stirred in my worship of Him. And so, one thing you can do in your life is to worship Him and have that as part of your personal devotion. And I find I don't do that often. And so this week I started that. So I hope that might help you a little. So last but not least, one of the last things you can do. Can I have my PowerPoint back up? Is to teach others. Let's see. I've got to skip through. Teaching others. So, part of Christianity, part of being a Christian, is being an ambassador to Him. You represent Him here on the earth. Your life will not make sense to you if you live for yourself. It'll be confusing. Why is there such a battle if I'm just here for me? You'll never be satisfied unless you adopt God's purpose for your life. You're part of His army. You're part of His family. And you know who we are? I've talked about lepers a little bit. You know who we are, the Christians? We're the lepers who've been healed. The leprosy is sin. Everybody has sin. Everybody, every person, except for that man hanging on the cross. Everybody has sin. All of us. We've been healed. He's touched us. We came to Him in our own way and said, can you heal me if you're willing? And He said, I'm willing. He's touched all of us. If you've come to Him and you've been washed clean. If you're going to adopt this philosophy, guess what you need to do? You need to tell other people, guess what? You have leprosy. You have the same sickness. You have the same sickness. And the only cure is this message. The message that God cares about you. It's the only cure. It's the only possible cure. That's one of our roles. So we need to teach others about. Paul said this. He said, I do everything. He said, everything he did, I do everything to spread the good news and share its blessings. Everything he did. And I go, wow, that's an amazing statement to be able to say that. I can't say that. Everything I do is to spread the gospel. I run with purpose in every step, so I am not just shadow boxing. You know what shadow boxing is? That's like boxing, like, but there's nobody there. You're kind of hitting the air, kind of making the movements. That you're kind of pretending, you're practicing. He says, I'm not just practicing. I'm not just doing the motions. I'm in the ring. I'm really boxing. I'm in the ring. So I just want to review these five steps of things you can do. And if you could think about for your life, would any one of these be good for you to adopt? We took our temperature. Would it be good for you to look in the Scripture and the truth He lays out and say, how can I agree with God about things that are true that would be good for my thinking? Would it be good for your life to build a different pattern of going to Him more consistently? How could you do that this week? Would it be good for you to worship Him in your personal life more often? To worship and reckon, would it be good for your life to do that? And last, would it be good for you to teach others that they need God? They have a leprosy of sin. They suffer with that. You know, I was here this week in school. Some kids got out early and some kids came by and it was kind of rainy. And say, can we wait in the building? We're going to get a ride. I said, yeah, whatever. I unlocked the door, and they were just, can we wait here? And I said, sure, it's fine. And I thought, well, these high school kids are here. So I said, well, I should give them a life book. So I gave them a life book, And I said, you ever think about if you're going to heaven or not? And I said, it's something I do on a semi-regular basis. And I said, hey, they were freshmen at the high school, and there's two young ladies. And I said, hey, you ever wonder if you're going to heaven? So I asked them this question. I said, someone's going to pick you up, you know, in a couple minutes. And I said, let's lay out an example. And I said, let's just say they pick you up and they drive across the train tracks and they don't make it across. And you get hit by a train. And you stand before God and God says, why should I let you into heaven? This is the same question I ask people. I just use different trucks or vehicles of what you get hit by. And why should God let you into heaven? And he says, well, I don't know. I go, that's a hard question. They go, I don't know what I would say. And they actually thought about, what are they going to say to God? They actually thought about it. You know what happened next? A train came. The whistle. You know, and you hear the train. And I said, I couldn't help it. I said, there's the train. And then there's the train. There's the train. And they went, that's really creepy. I don't mean that in a mean way, but we don't think about that's the truth. People are going to stand. I did them a favor. I didn't want to be creepy, but I did them a favor. They are going to stand before God one day. And it's okay to help people understand the truth. That's okay. Why don't we pray and we will worship together as the music team comes up. God, thank you for reminders that it is good to worship you. It is good. Thank you so much for coming for us. Thank you for that example of you hanging on the cross. That we are valuable to you and that you redeemed us. Pray that we would learn to do these things to connect with the truth of who you are this week. Pray that you bless us.